Welcome to Real Estate I Love It podcast. I'm Shelley Hoffman, real estate expert and community advisor. Join me and various guests who are expert in what they do, such as home inspectors, mortgage brokers, investors, wholesalers. There are so many aspects to our industry that most people are not aware of, and I'm here to help you learn about them. I'm an educator by trade, and this podcast is to educate you in the world of real estate. Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's Shelley Hoffman, and I'm here today on the Real Estate I Love It podcast live show with Matt Kettleman. And Matt and I met a couple years ago, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Matt, to introduce yourself a little bit. But as I've told you numerous times, you are such a realtor that I admire. So thank you for being here this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. And it's kind of funny, like how we not, I wouldn't say reconnected, but because we've been in each other's lives since day, like the time we met, but like, just reach, you know, us doing the podcast and you reaching out about some things and then you kind of firing up your own podcast, I think is really cool. So I'm super happy to be here. But Matt Kelderman, I'm down in Dallas-Fort Worth where it's usually much warmer, but it's been super cold the last couple of days. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But it's just, down here in Dallas, Texas, have a large real estate team and do a podcast with a couple of other high producing agents. And it's just, it's a really interesting time to be selling real estate.
It definitely is. Well, and you may not remember one of the first times we had a conversation, you were starting the podcast. Yeah. And I said, that's so interesting. And it hadn't even entered my mind yet to do one. But in watching you and then watching yours grow, I think on episode one, you actually have been doing it for a couple months. But if you go on the YouTube and talk about episode one, it's because you were getting a feel for how to do it. And I kind of watched you guys, tink around a little bit. But you also have a Facebook group that's for real estate that's connected to the podcast, correct?
Yeah. So we have a large, it's mostly real estate agent facing, solving kind of some of the problems that we're all running into, you know, inventory issues, you know, negotiating contracts, those types of things. And then we try to bring on guests that we think are really, really helpful, not just to real estate, but even anybody with like an entrepreneur mindset. We've been really fortunate to have some pretty big guests on lately. And the cool thing about that, and I think one of the awesome things that you get to do and specifically that your audience gets to benefit from. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I realized this when we started doing the podcast, you get to ask the questions you want to ask, which is really awesome. And you get to kind of pull the people who are interested in your content about what they want you to ask, which is cool too. So like having the podcast as a platform to communicate with people has been one of the most fun things that we've had going on the last couple of years.
Well, and to that point, a lot of times when you ask someone to come on the show, what you think you're going to talk about and the turns and the twists that it takes, you just end up getting deeper conversations and more meaning out of it than you would ever, ever think of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who would you say is the most interesting person that you guys have had on your podcast?
So we've had a couple, like we're kind of riding a couple of highs right now. Like we just had Tariq El Moussa on from Flip or Flop. And his energy was bananas, right? Like, and that was just, you know, that was just a couple of weeks ago. So it's kind of that recency bias a little bit, just like listening to his story. And I think, you know, I had this preconception of him going into the episode of just, you know, not that he just figured out real estate, but he's on TV, right? He's a good looking dude. He obviously talks really well, you know, but I wasn't expecting his story to be where it was. So that was really fun. Brian, my business partner, and I were actually part of a national expansion team under Keller Williams that's led by Adam Hergenrother. He's up in Vermont. And we had him on last week. And I've been blessed to be coached by him for about 3 years. And so I've heard his story and I've heard his philosophies and those types of things. But anytime we can get 45 minutes of his time to just let him kind of riff on mindset, spirituality, those types of things. So honestly, our last two shows have been real juicy and they've been awesome, but we've had so many cool people on. And then there's just some shows where Nick, Brian and I sit around and jabber and those are great too. So it's fun. It's fun to do.
I've listened to both. I've listened when it's just the three of you and you make me laugh. There was an episode probably halfway through where you had taken a listing or a seller and it cost Nick his lake house, I believe, you know, which it did not, but it's just the camaraderie that you guys have, which is fun to listen to.
We do. And the cool thing about it, I think, for real estate agents and is that we're not brokerage specific at all. If anything, I think the hilarious thing about it is if you're on social media when it comes to real estate anyways, EXP and Keller Williams has this little silly, completely unnecessary brokerage nonsense going back and forth. And we're, I think we're great about that because we don't talk about brokerage on the show. We represent both of those brokerages, right? So mm-hmm. it would be hard, somebody be hard pressed to find any bias in our delivery. We're just kind of sharing what we're failing at and what we're succeeding at on a daily basis. And, you know, if it's for you, cool. If it's not, that's all right too, right?
Right. And that's the piece I think sometimes is lost is we're actually cooperating agents. In order to bring a transition from or a transaction from the beginning to the end, you have to work together. You have to be on the same page. That communication has to be there. I'm huge with that, which is I probably couldn't even have told you which brokerage you were at when I called you to say, hey, can we work with this person together? Because it didn't matter. I was looking for an agent that could help the person that I knew was moving to Texas. And that was more important to me than who was actually the broker that was going to pay you your commission and was going to work with them. Right.
And I think that's the whole thing. Right. And this from a consumer and a real estate agent perspective, we need to stop acting like I'm not saying there aren't benefits to being at certain brokerages. Right. But it's really not a huge difference when you're talking about handing off a referral or being able to take care of clients. Right. Like I can do what I do no matter what name is on the sign. Right. I'm going to sell real estate. Are there comp packages that get better or that make more sense for certain people depending on their business type? Sure. Right. But and if you want to go online and argue about that with other real estate agents, you can. The reality is at the end of the day, like I just want to partner with somebody who I know is going to who is going to take care of the client, especially from, you know, you and I coming into each other's world from a referral standpoint. Right.
Right.
Not knowing each other, handing off a client to somebody that you know, but you're not 100% sure of every single one of their business practices, you know, so you've got a lot of there's a lot of trust that's happening. And I don't really care where you hang your sign. That's not just going to automatically get you the business or the opportunity or whatever else.
Right. And as you know, it's all about it's communication. It's following through. It's following up. It's listening to the clients. I mean, those are the things that make the great partnership when it's a referral, like you said, because that is how we connected. And then we just stayed connected through social media. The one thing that you that I see your name all the time is when somebody's looking for a referral in a different part of the country. Almost always, Matt, you know somebody to connect them with. It's, I'm just in awe when something comes up. Something was in Syracuse the other day and you threw my name out there. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I know where you are, obviously, and you know where I am, but you seem to know where everybody is. And that's got to be because of all the connections that you do on social media, correct?
It is, yeah. And so like it, that's actually like a few fold process. And I think some real estate agents think that some of these lead sources just kind of show up. That's kind of three and a half years of just attention to a specific lead opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Social media and relationships with other agents are, it's just something that takes some time to nurture. So about 3.5 years ago, I really started focusing on procuring the Dallas opportunities that I saw popping up on Facebook and partnered with a couple, actually one guy from high school who sells in San Diego, which was just a chance thing. And three or four of us got together and started keeping an eye out for each other. And then through that, right, weird things start happening. People who don't even really know you, but know you on social media start tagging you, even though they haven't done business with you, because they're just like, hey, I like that guy. People who, then you start getting that book of business that you've worked with the people, and then they start tagging you. So you just get all of these people in your world. And then I'm intentional about it. I keep a spreadsheet of everybody who I've connected with, and their city and location is a big deal. And I go through when I need something in that city and I just filter my Google spreadsheet and see who I have there. And then if, you know, it typically starts with reciprocating referrals first. If I've gotten a referral but never sent them an opportunity, they're going to move to the top of the list, right?
Okay.
But other than that, it's just a matter of kind of the easy, boring stuff that we as real estate agents don't want to admit we have to do. It's kind of tracking some of that stuff in whatever system makes sense for you. And for this, a Google sheet works perfect for me. But like, but here's to your point. I don't have to go see who Syracuse is. I don't have to go look at my Denver connection, my Austin. There's 25 cities that I know exactly who I'm going to, right? But if somebody throws out some obscure place in the middle of nowhere, I'm like, man, do I have somebody there, right?
Right. So, well, and all the social media groups, like I said, you had created one, is you get to know them not just on Facebook, but YouTube. So if I have a client that says, I'm thinking about moving to Texas, I'm thinking about moving to some part of North Carolina, and I know that there's a real estate agent that's out in that community creating content, I say, follow this person, learn about that area. Is it really someplace you want to go? And what better person than a real estate agent or professional to showcase, you know, what's going on in that area? Are you into nightlife? Are you you into quiet peace? Do you want land? All that stuff. I mean, if you follow the right person in each city, you can learn about the area before you get there. And now you have, it's not a face-to-face relationship with that agent, but you have a feeling, is that somebody that you want to work with? Correct?
Absolutely. And here's the thing is, video is the best medium to cut out all of the issues that show up in email and text. We're in this really unique space in kind of like a social evolution with COVID and things that we've been forced into video, right? Like Everybody's using Zoom, even if you don't like it, turning your cameras on, right? So there's all this kind of breaking down of this barrier about all the video has to be perfect, has to look clean all the time. So I think people are becoming a little more comfortable with it. And it's the only medium that allows you to see my body language, hear my tonality, right? How many times have people, like, you sent a text message and because you forgot punctuation or forgot to put a smiley face, somebody thinks like you're all stressed out and irritated?
Yes.
So like there's so much lost in those mediums that video brings back, and video brings the advantage of talking to massive amounts of people at the same time, right? We've got, you know, 6-10 people watching live, people watch the replays, however that stuff works. We can talk to multiple people at one time and they get to know who we are, right? So then you parlay that with YouTube and going to a place. We had, Brian and I had two people reach out to us last year off one YouTube video, and both of them were just like, hey, we just kind of like who you guys are. We'd go have a beer with you. And we'd just like to know if you'd help us find a home, right?
Right.
It's those kind of warm opportunities. You don't have to deal with the rejection, right? As a real estate agent, people just float away. If they don't like what you're doing, they just go away, right?
Right.
And people who want to engage with you do. And from the consumer perspective, you get to sift through people, because here's the other thing. Maybe in Syracuse there might be, but in DFW, if you Google top 5 reasons to move to DFW, there's 50 real estate agents who have done a video about that, right?
Right.
And you're not going to watch all 50 of those because you have other things to do. You can go on there and be like, you know, you can listen to someone and be like, nope, not that person. Nope, not that person. Right. And you can sift through some of that. So you don't even have to be creative as an agent. I would encourage you not to be. Go see what other people are doing. This gets tons of attention, and do that your own way. Right.
Right. That's what I think was drawn to me to your podcast so much, is it's like, hey, this is who we are. You don't have to be like us, but find your uniqueness, find your niche, find out who you are. And I think we're both in the same YouTube mastermind group. And I love that group. And I love looking at the feed, and I'm looking at the thumbnails, because thumbnails are important in YouTube. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what facial expressions am I even comfortable with? Because I say, if I do something and you see it on YouTube and then you meet me at the grocery store and I'm not that person, I'm not authentic. So you're right. People find out who authentically you are if you are yourself on YouTube, Facebook Lives, you know, wherever you're putting your content.
Absolutely. And this is in addition to all the other stuff you're doing. I think the misconception is that there's some like really difficult process. I mean, what we're doing right now is a perfect example of how you can parlay this into exactly what consumers would want, right? And whether you're a consumer watching this, this is also what you should be looking for. Agents out there doing business to business interviews in the area you want to move into, right? Agents going to places that you want to see. But these business to business interviews, you could very much be sitting here talking to somebody who owns a donut shop in Syracuse, or somebody who owns a bar or whatever, in this exact same format. And StreamYard is a relatively affordable program. I am literally, I have my computer sitting on top of a printer, so the angle's right, so you can't tell how chunky my face is getting, right? You don't have to have some absurd setup. I got a tree dying in the background. I can't figure out. Right? Like, there's all of this stuff. It's not like some massive deal. And you, it's the consistency. And this is what people, this is where agents fail. And I also think where consumers get let down. Is there's just not consistency from what your real estate agent's doing, right? There's no consistency in the agent's video production or their video content, so that falls off. There's no consistency in their communication, so the client feels neglected, right? Like, it's a pattern that you can typically see across the board in somebody's business. So I just think as real estate agents, we need to understand that, like, communicating through social media and developing a relationship through social media is incredibly beneficial and not really that hard to do.
No, it really isn't. I mean, and I think, like you said, this past year has made so many more people comfortable with video. I started doing video in my community probably 3 years ago, and everyone prior to that said, you talk, you're animated with your hands, you should do video. And I'm like, nobody wants to see me on video. I don't want to see myself on video. But you start doing it, you become a little bit more comfortable with it. And then all of a sudden, this is a natural conversation for me to have with you,
yeah.
Right? Although there's other people watching, I'm literally feel like I'm just talking to you. And that's what makes this platform so nice. It's still a face-to-face conversation.
Well, and I think the really cool part about, like, us being able to have this conversation, or maybe even what people can benefit from. And focusing more on how social media has developed our relationship, right? I think at the end of the day, you and I get to have a much larger understanding of each other's businesses just because we're in each other's worlds, right? Like you're talking about that YouTube mastermind group. I too am sitting here struggling with thumbnails right now because I know it's something we need to do. It's also another layer that I don't really have a system for. And I'm trying to figure out how to automate that process to make sure it gets done because I want the information to get to consume. We have a lot of people moving from California to Texas right now, right? Little rabbit trailer here real quick. And everybody's doing videos right now. And they're all like silly videos, like top 10 reasons not to move to Texas from California. And they really are like the top 5 reasons to move to Texas. You know, Jeremy Knight, who's in one of those groups down in Austin, he does a really good job of these types of videos. It's like, don't move to Texas. And then you watch the video and he's like, hey, so Austin's really nice.
I've watched some of his. He's very entertaining, really knowledgeable.
Right? So again, there's levels of talent that people have in front of the camera, but I don't really think that matters. Because what you and I, our relationship has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that we legitimately have, I wouldn't say similar personalities, but similar interests. We're into the same things. We connected on social media and we made an effort to stay in contact. And here we are.
Right.
People just overthink what that looks like. It's not really that hard. It should be just kind of your natural personality connecting with other people. And then you're just kind of genuine and staying connected.
Correct. And, you know, we do have people from the Syracuse area that are going out to Texas. And so I tell them, I'm like, I'll use you as an example. If you like working with me and you enjoy me, then I do have somebody that I've connected with. We have similar personalities. They still have to interview you, right? They still have to have a conversation with you. They're not forced to work with you just because I made that connection. But you're right. If they are getting along with me because we're similar. Now there's somebody else that I'm good friends with down in the North Carolina. Her and I are completely different. I watch her videos sometimes like shock and awe. Right. Yep. And she's just crushing it down there. But that doesn't mean that somebody that likes working with me might like working with her, vice versa. But she is certainly a name that I would give because I know she cares about her clients. Her follow up is incredible. And she puts, you know, those people first. But again, our personalities are different. But I enjoy her videos just because sometimes I'm like, wow, I wish I had the energy to do what she does sometimes. You know,
there are some people who got some extra juice on camera that can like. There's a couple of guys up in they're up in Pennsylvania, and you know who they are, but it's Jim Ling and Colin Cameron, and they do some of the funniest stuff I have ever seen in my entire life. And I watch their stuff, and I'm like, man, they're so creative in the things they come up with. So I say all that to say, we just shot episode 93 of the podcast. Brian and I, now we've slacked on it recently, but we're doing weekly videos for months. I do things like this pretty frequently. I live my life on social media, not in an obnoxious way, but you get a post a day from me if, you know, whatever. And I still look at other people and I'm like, man, those people are so far ahead of what I'm doing. Like, it's just insane, right? So like, no matter what stage you're at, there's always going to be somebody that you're kind of like trying to chase a little bit. Right. Some of this is just being out there. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, and if you're watching this now or on the replay, my Facebook, for instance, is pretty public. But if you want to go send me a friend request, my name's scrolling on the thing. And you can just kind of see how I try to keep, because I use social media to stay in contact with clients as well. You know, I like seeing what's going on in their life. I like seeing their successes. You know, you see their kid has a birthday and you didn't have that saved in your information about them. You go and save that kind of stuff. Like social media allows you to go so much deeper in relationship with people if you choose to use it that way. If you just choose to use it as a platform to just be a jack wagon and go out and just try and ramp people up, thinking you're going to change anybody's opinion on social media, then, you know, go do that. But don't expect business to come from it, right?
Right.
So I've found that just having this really neutral, inviting space for people to come into and have fun, and then I can learn more about them, has been really effective for me.
Well, and you do a decent amount with video and video editing. And what I thought was interesting on your personal page, because we are friends, you know, obviously on Facebook, was your son recently had either he received a Nerf gun or you just had a Nerf gun kind of a day. But yeah.
I'm the worst gift buyer on the planet. One time in high school, I had a girlfriend who, now I'm about to be 42. So when I say VHS, for those of you who don't know what that is, whatever. I had this girlfriend in high school, or maybe it was college, and she wanted to like see the West Side Story. Well, I didn't know what that was. So I saw the double VHS at like Walmart of West Side Story, just bought it for her for her birthday. She's like, this is the worst present I've ever gotten in my life. Like, this is not what I wanted. So I'm the worst present buyer ever, even for my son who I adore. So I just defaulted to just like, I'm just going to buy him a Nerf gun arsenal for Christmas. And then we're sitting at Christmas. My mom's like, well, why don't you go to like a tennis court and you guys just go crazy? So we took like 600 bullets and all of his guns. And we went and set them up at the tennis court. And I just grabbed little minute long clips, right? Like, you know, because again, I want to be present with my son as well. I don't care if people think like I constantly have a camera shoved in my kid's face. I don't, right? Like I would capture, there are so many moments I don't even capture that are actually gold because we're just living our life together. But so I just kept kind of recording little selfie style videos for a minute of what we were doing. Put like six of those little minute clips together. I have a gentleman who lives in Coeur d'Alene or in Ohio. I sent him all of those clips and I said, make something out of this. Right?
Right.
And he took them all and he made this little 2 minute long video. And I noticed, I was like, oh, there's a couple of things I could have done better. Right. But that was the point, was I was just running around playing with my kid, right, grabbing the camera, taking it out. The camera died at the end. Right. Like we didn't even get all the stuff we wanted. So the whole point being is I was just trying to be intentional about capturing a few moments. And then I have a system or a piece of leverage in place and a person with enough talent to just make it into this. And then he sends it back to me and I can share it out. It was intentionally recorded, but it was a genuine moment. And I think that's how people from a connection standpoint need to look at their life. It's okay to grab screenshots of real life every once in a while, right?
Right. Well, and it's that piece, like you said, follow me on social media, on my personal page. You have a lot of business content too. And that's where people get to know you, because I think I do a decent job of that as well, Matt. But again, I'm watching, you know, I don't follow myself as much as I follow other people, right? I just, something makes me laugh. Something makes me appreciate my children. I throw it out. And then the memories pop up in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Some of them my kids want me to take down.
Yeah. There's two things that allows you to do. Memories allow you to weed out stupid old ideas you used to have. And find pictures that you didn't save or were on an old phone that you can pull back into your world. Here's why I like that. And I like that you brought that up too. Like real estate agents specifically. And again, I don't know. I want to make sure I'm speaking to the right audience too. I just don't want to sit here and talk to real estate agents all day long. But the reality is, but I think this helps the consumer because it gives them an idea of what they need to be looking out for. A real estate agent whose social media is constant business, right? Like name one channel that's on television that just runs commercials nonstop, right? Even QVC has like the most unself-aware, if that's a word, human beings who have ever lived. So at least it's entertaining, right? Like nobody just has commercials. Even if you go on your Instagram feed right now, your Facebook feed and scroll, you're probably going to see about 20% of the content you see is going to be ads, right? And that's how your social media, if you choose to use it as a platform for people to get to know you, right? Because I steer away from saying I use my social media for business because I don't, but there's my whole life is on there intentionally because I do want, it is overall a Truman Show look into what I do, right? Like, so, but you'll see the business posts on there. I will tell you the business posts are also the most automated thing that happens, right? I have a person who goes in and posts all of those just listed, just sold, those really generic ones,
right.
the memes of like, hey, it's Groundhog's Day, your referrals are needed, right? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. Those are fine, but that's not me, right? I'm not looking at that like, ha, 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 people need to see this, right? It's a corny, obvious joke, but it's okay because corny's all right too. And then I will throw in stuff, right? Like the post that I did about how much I paid out in referrals last year.
Right.
A couple people messaged me and were like, dude, why would you like, I don't understand. That seems kind of weird. And I said, my point behind it was twofold. I wanted people to understand that like they can trust me with their referral. That was the first part of it. But secondarily, I wanted other agents to look at that and think about what the actual cost of selecting the wrong agent was, right? Because I also have part of me following up these referrals. I have plenty of friends on my Facebook page that I didn't get the referral. I didn't close the referral, right? Like it's not 100%, you right. know, there's some of them don't close. I lose some. Some aren't a great fit. Guess what? Some of these referrals agents send are not nice people and I don't want to work with them, right? Like there's all kinds of reasons, but those people still stay in my world and you never know when the opportunity is going to present itself again, all kinds of stuff. So it's just, it shouldn't be 80% real estate stuff and 20% generic sharing from other pages. if social media is going to be a vehicle for you to attract in clients and other business partners, you should be filling your Facebook with people in your area, business owners in your area, and agents you want to do business with across the nation. Those are the only three people that make it into my Facebook anymore. No more title reps, no more lenders who want to take me to lunch. I'm good, right? Like, I don't need any more of that stuff. So it's a very focused audience, and I'm telling a story to them, right? And that makes it a lot easier.
Right. And marketing, there was a book that was just sent to me, actually. Patrick Ferry had referred it to me, but it's basically telling the story, setting up your social media, whether it's your personal page, your business page, but what story are you telling? And I look at your page like you're telling me the story of your life and how you incorporate your work and your personal, and it's just all of you. Two points, though, that I want to say about what you were just talking about is, one is there are people that are strictly business, right? And that's their mm-hmm. ads, and they're going to attract the clients that want that. Those are clients that you and I probably wouldn't end up working with because they're very business, absolute business minded focus. So there are real estate agents and professionals for them, and that's what their social media content and stuff they're going to like. The other thing is your automated post that you said, and then the one about the dollars. Because I think I called you on, or at least messaged you one of the days when you had put about the amount of money from the referrals.
Uh-huh.
You could see the difference, right? Because I know you personally, at least through social media, the ones that are automated, and that one that you actually created, that was a business post, but it was authentic to you. It was, again, a piece of advice, even if you didn't see it that way, of saying, look what you can monetize, what money can come in just by being human, just by making connections, just by caring about your clients and where they're going. And you did. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was a very large number for just referral business.
Correct? It was. And it was something. And again, I'm pretty transparent, so I'll throw it back out there. I mean, we paid out $24,000. I did, or $45,000 in referrals last year. Right. And that was other agents, that is other licensed agents who trusted me with their business. And here's, like I said in that post, the reason that number was significant was, you know, not because of the $45,000. I know real estate agents who referral business are way bigger than mine and probably paid out five times that, maybe 10 times that, some of these larger teams, right? But the reality is those were what I think that's significant, and why it's significant from a real estate agent perspective, right? Let's take all the fact that families got helped, people are now living in homes, all those things that we do this for, that's fine. But that's also fluff part of this, right? The reality is, from a real estate perspective, social media, because every one of those referrals came from social media efforts, right? Whether it was another agent like yourself, maybe telling somebody in your office, I got a guy in Dallas, which that happens now too. It's gotten that big, right? So that was that much business did not exist on January 1st of 2020 in my world. And by December 31st of 2020, all of that business had been closed because of social media efforts, right? And we're all real estate agents. We typically know what general percentages are on how much referrals are paid out. You can back the math out and figure out what the overall GCI of that $45,000 is. It's a significant amount of money brought into the business based off of social media activity, right? And I have to be careful with it. There's times I get bogged down and it's no longer the best use of my time. I'm now just scrolling. Right. It's not about business anymore. I'm just on Facebook. So there are parts of this that still I kind of struggle with from a productivity and efficiency standpoint. But none of that would have existed. And it's just a lead source. If you spent the same amount of time calling expireds, going business to business, shooting videos for whatever, you would get to the same place over time. But it's that focused time on task that will bring opportunities into your world, in which that's just more relationships and more opportunities. And then it just explodes from there.
Right. And the one thing that happened in this past year is because people do not necessarily have to go into the office, they can now live and move anywhere that they want. And they're trying to think, where do we want to go? And you said people come from California to Texas. We have people, I have a cousin in Texas who's going to Montana because he thinks it's beautiful. He would have never been able to do that if it wasn't all of a sudden he can work from his home or wherever he wants to be. So, you know, in talking to him, who do I know up there? And again, you make that connection, but it's through social media. Without social media, how would I find, you know, and people did it back 20 years ago before social media, they found referrals. But I think personally, that was like throwing a dart at a dartboard, unless you met them at some kind of convention. You know, how did you make that connection? And then you're seeing people in their best light because you're seeing them at conventions.
Absolutely.
As opposed to who they really are.
And I think that's for me, that's been the biggest thing that from a social media perspective, is that I've been able to let the overall, the clients, even the referrals coming in, right? Like, cause some, a lot of these referrals, the agent will say, hey, I've got a guy down there. Here's his name, here's his contact info. And I tell agents now, have your client check me out. Like, if you go Google Matt Kelderman Realtor, I pop up, you can read my reviews. You go on Facebook and hit Matt Kelderman, I pop up, you can go see, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, you probably see 95% of my content. There's very little I post for just friends because it's just, I'm not posting anything that I don't want everybody to see. I just don't care. And it's 2021. People can screen record and screenshot anything. So if you think you're hidden behind a wall of privacy, you're just you're not. Right? Like, don't put anything out there you wouldn't want people to see. And that's the situation. So it creates this nice little warm bubble for people to come into before they even have to make contact with me. And it makes the whole process a lot more seamless. And to your point, it allows you to vet people in a way that's a little bit different, right? You know, not just going to Zillow to see if they had some sales or whatever, right? Like, you can actually go and see. If I go to a real estate agent's page, and I'd probably twist some real estate agents off with saying this, but if I go to your page and I don't even know you sell real estate, like at all, I'm just going to assume you're not very good at it. Or I'm going to assume that you sell so much that you're no longer involved in the business. But either way, you're on the opposite end of the spectrum for somebody I want my clients to be dealing with, right? And I know that's the incorrect assumption on the fringes. I understand there are people who don't post at all, who do like this perfect amount of business. And now there are people who are post all the time who are probably terrible, right? Like, I understand that. But in the middle, I think most people maybe not use their social media like I use it, but I do think that there are people need to understand what you do, and there needs to be a little social proof of your existence for everybody involved, even just for your business. Like, if I can't find your phone number as a real estate agent, like, that's pretty rough for me to like find you as a viable referral candidate, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. There are a couple of things you can do just to make your world a little bit easier. But I think for the most part, having access to internet, social media, Zillow, all those things that we can verify has got to have made it easier than when people tried to figure this out 20, 25 years ago.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And to your point, there was a couple of my friends that I had moving that I had connections with on social media. And when they went to Google them, they went to their Zillow. Well, they didn't have a presence on Zillow. So the phone call back to me was, well, I don't think they're doing any business. I don't see anything on Zillow. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's because they're not utilizing Zillow. So you do have to have a variety of platforms out there where your name is, because you don't know where that potential client's going to be trying to find your information. Right.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? And we tell agents all the time, and I definitely don't want to get too far afield, and you can, I don't know how long these typically run, so you can shut them down whenever you need to.
I love talking to you, Matt.
I'll do this for a while. But I think we need to understand too that like in consumers and real estate agents, this is the different side of the coin for both of them. Consumers hopefully understand that when they click on a button, they're probably not going to the intended source, meaning the odds of you really talking to the listing agent if you're just not dialing their number is probably not right happening if you're going through one of these third-party sites. And real estate agents need to understand that this opportunity, this inquiry, this lead, whatever you want to call it, is probably in a bunch of other databases. But more importantly, they don't care how long they've been in yours, right? Like, we have this thing that sometimes when we look at people's information or look at the connection time and we're like, oh, this lead came in a year and a half ago. Like, I'm not going to talk to him. That's silly, first off, right? Because the consumer doesn't care about any of that stuff. So to take it even one step further from, like you said, how they find you in the first place, once they've found you, until they've bought or sold a home, and from the consumer know that if you're in mind, we're going to have some sort of follow-up until you tell me my services are no longer needed, because that the data is not wrong, and that's all I care about, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to continue to try and form a relationship with you until you tell me just to go away, right? Now, as soon as you say, hey, don't contact me anymore, I am one of those agents, so I'll leave you alone. I'm not going to keep hammering you because I just don't.
So Matt, my eyes are watering because I'm going to laugh so hard right now. One of the groups that we're in together, and I believe it's yours, you know, sometimes you guys will post where someone tells you, okay, we're done. Or, you know what I mean? Because it does happen.
Yeah.
And literally they make my day sometimes because we all get rejected. You know, not everybody wants to work with us. And just the humor piece that you and your, you know, Nick and you guys attach to it really does make me laugh. And that's what's nice about having some private real estate only is because nobody understands that pain quite as much as another real estate agent does, right?
that sales rejection is a tough one. And it's like, there's a little part of me every time that I get one where somebody just is dog cussing you, right? Like, and I always warn people too. I'm like, look, I'm going to put the cuss words where you have to click on this to see it. But I'm telling you, if you click on it, it's on you because this is a ridiculous one, right? So And I never respond because one, it's just not worth getting into with somebody. I think we as a real estate agent need to understand there's no advantage to getting in the mix with somebody, right? You are at a disadvantage from a review standpoint, from, you know, just anybody can go out there and write anything they want about you. There's no reason to fight with somebody who doesn't want to work with you. So I rarely will get back in the mix with anybody, but every once in a while, there'll be somebody who just says something so crazy. You almost text back and be like, hey, look, I know I kind of a bit of a nuisance today, but like, is that really something you say to other people just through text messages because you're angry? Like, that's like next level, just kind of flying off the handle. So one, if you're a real estate agent, you get those. We all get those. And if you're a consumer and doing that, knock it off. Nothing's that serious. Having a deal.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Well, was there anything else, Matt, that we didn't cover that we thought we would cover today that we could kind of throw in here at the end?
No, I think at the end of the day, it's just if you're finding that you're laughing a lot and having a good time with the people around you, you're probably closer to where you want to be than the opposite side of this. So if I can give any advice, just kind of keep marching in that direction. It took me a long time in my life to find true joy and it's a very freeing space to be. And if you're on the march towards that, just kind of keep going, because this industry is a bit of a beating, but it's also kind of hilarious if you look at it through the right lens. So,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. I literally have said that so many times this week that if it's not bringing me joy, then there's something not in it for me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to mention before we part ways, though, if you haven't seen at the bottom of the screen scrolling, the only real estate podcast worth listening to is the podcast that Matt, Nick, and Brian do together. Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of times I'm just in my car, I put it on and I listen. There's a lot of great content that you guys give out to not just the other real estate agents, but to the consumers as well. And then you're funny. I mean, the three of you together really do just, you make me laugh. So
well, we certainly appreciate it. And look, if you don't, the bit starts with the name of the show. We understand it's not the only real estate podcast we're listening to. That's why we named it that. It's hilarious. So if the name from the beginning just automatically is like, these guys are jerks, I'm offended. Don't tune in. You're not going to like what happens after that.
Right? Yeah. Probably not. Because I remember when you told me what you were naming it, I thought, oh my gosh, that is perfect. It's and then when I saw the invite come through.
And I'll tag it in the thing. And the thing is, we're just riding with the bit too, because the group, the Facebook group is called the only real estate group worth being a part of.
Absolutely.
But it's out there now. We're rolling with it.
Mm-hmm. No, and like I said, there's a lot of things that you bring up that are serious in that group. And there's a lot of things that are just comical. I read something this morning, I think it was in the YouTube one, about somebody who had said, don't let the cat out, right? We all see those signs. Don't let the animals out. And they picked up a cat because they thought it was the cat. And it ended up being, when the seller came home, they said, why are there two cats in the house? And we, right? So you read that and you think, you know what? My day wasn't that bad. My day was not that bad. So.
That's the thing. And you know, God bless anybody who's ever had to chase a cat out of a house, because that just sounds like the worst thing that could happen in your showing day.
Sounds
yes. Awesome. So, it's amazing, man. You will always and forever be my Syracuse person. So if other Syracuse people are watching this, sorry, you're in second place.
Well, thank you, Matt. And thank you again for taking your morning, because I know that, you know, it's a little bit earlier where you are than where I am. But you mentioned cold. And I want to tell you, we have about, oh, my goodness, a foot of snow out there. So I have no sympathy for your Texas.
I've been watching all my Northeast people. Yeah, I know. And I say cold. I bet if I ask Siri what the temperature, let's see. Hey, Siri, what's the temperature outside? Let's see what she says.
It's 63 degrees.
On that note, Matt, we are parting ways, but
yeah, I'll see you later.
Bye. That's it for this week's episode of Real Estate I Love It. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever stream platform you're using for your podcast. See you next time.